This is the Houston Staff Plus of Mind Your Business, and we are here in South Florida at City National Bank of Florida, the Hollywood location.
This episode is about the world of business and banking as it exists right now, mid-2025. Joining me on this episode from City National Bank of Florida is Mike McIntyre, Chief Banking Officer at City National Bank of Florida, as well as Josh Jordan, Senior Vice President and Regional Director of Business and Personal Banking here at City National Bank of Florida. And in addition to the guests from the bank, we're going to be speaking with three very special guests. One is Joe Gopin, the founder and owner of KC Market, of course, Kosher Central. He has three booming locations here in South Florida. And then we're going to be talking with Andrew Sasson, co-founder and CEO of Recovery Unplugged. He has six locations nationwide, and he recently recorded servicing his 20,000th client. Can you imagine the impact that he's having? And then finally, we're going to be speaking with noted real estate attorney, Paul Feldman, from the law offices of Paul Feldman. Mind Your Business travels around, but this is, I think it's the first time we're doing a show here in Florida. Very, very exciting, especially exciting to be on the set with Mike McIntyre. We've joined together on the set many times before. Mike McIntyre, Chief Banking Officer at City National Bank of Florida. Welcome back to Mind Your Business.
Yitzhak, it's great to see you. We've come a long way together from the streets of Borough Park to to Lakewood, New Jersey, back to Brooklyn, right. And now we find ourselves here in Hollywood. Not Los Angeles, Hollywood, Florida. And we're having a great time here. It's a beautiful day here in June. Sun's always shining, and glad you made the trip down here. Great to see you.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. Now, you've worked at some of the most well-known financial institutions, I would say in America, but it's to be more accurate, the world, because one in particular is a international brand. What brought you to City National Bank of Florida?
It's like you never know how things work out, right? And you get blessings, and you just never know where things take you. We moved down here about 3.5 years ago, and received a phone call from a very well-known person out here, George Gonzalez, the chairman and CEO of City National Bank. And anybody who's in Florida knows that George is essentially, you know, one of the top leaders here on the banking side. He's part of the top 100 people here in Florida. And when you get a phone call like that, you don't turn it down. And we had a great conversation, and we spent a lot of time talking about the industry and his vision for the organization and the strategic direction that he would need support to deliver the outcome that he was striving to achieve. And when he pitched me his story, and it kind of really dovetailed well to what I want to do, which is the next step of my career. And so when he presented me the opportunity to become the chief banking officer, it was just an opportunity that when we think about it, you know, there's about 4 or 5 days in your career that kind of define you. This is one of those days for me. And been here now about 6 months. The days fly by, the weeks fly by, lots to do. But we are the second biggest bank based here in Florida. We have a phenomenal parent company behind us called the BCI Group out of Santiago, Chile. They're a multi-billion dollar financial services company throughout LATAM, and they are a great supporter of ours. They're a wholly owned owner of our organization here, and have really given us quite a bit of capital to grow this organization, you know, taking us from about $27, $28 billion now to about $35 billion projected over the next 3 to 5 years. And so, you know, I feel like I've been on the ground floor again of another great opportunity, and I hope to make some really good hay out of this one.
Now, life evolves. In the business world, it certainly evolves. And today with AI, I mean, who knows what's going to be tomorrow?
You and I were talking years ago about fintechs.
That's right.
And how lending was changing.
That's right, back in 1819.
Yeah. You fast forward now 6, 7, 8 years. Now, you know, that's old news. And now you're talking about the cutting edge that is AI. And it is astounding how it's changing our lives every day.
So let's talk about how your outlook has, as it relates to the banking world, has evolved throughout your journey.
Yeah. You know what? I've said this to you for the last 7, 8, 9 years. This is a people business, right? It's a people business delivered with great technology, delivered with a great customer experience, with solutions, not products, that support the needs of our clients, right? And as I continue to grow in my professional career, you know, I continue to remind our people that, you know, we're not here selling products, we're selling advice, we're providing counsel, and we're providing solutions. And all those technologies out there can give you some of that, but not all of it. And, you know, I've come to really, truly, in my DNA, believe that you've got to lead with people. right? You can deliver with great technology and you can deliver with a great experience like this location here. I mean, we're in a brand new branch here in Hollywood. It's gorgeous, cutting edge technology, great people around us, right? That's what makes the special sauce. And, you know, we are a people first business. We're 24/7 in this organization. And that's really what's drawn me.
By the way, you've always been attracted to a people-driven 100%, business.
100%.
It's like in your DNA. As Chief Banking Officer here at City National Bank of Florida, you help lead the bank's growth. So this is a question about vision.
Yep.
What are some of the key values and strategies that you just see to it that at the end of the day, that has to be hardwired into everything the bank does?
We've got to deliver a great customer experience. It may not be the product. It might just be advice, right? What we also have to do is constantly remind our customers that we're here for them. And what does that mean? It means that, yes, we'll support your current needs, but tell us about your aspirational needs, right? We may do a great job in banking you in the commercial real estate space. Mm-hmm. We might help you with that construction project, you know, in Doral or down on the beach. But if you have other needs, you know, there are other things that we can do to supplement what we've already done for our customers. And so I continue to encourage my bankers, and I've said this for the last 10 years, you know, we've got to deliver credibility, branding, presence. We have a phenomenal brand in City National Bank. We have a phenomenal organization in terms of our people, which brings credibility. Mm-hmm. And you deliver that with presence. And what does that mean? It means that you're providing services that are not just meant to address the issue today, but really ensuring that our customers and clients particularly appreciate the fact that we're going to be for them and be there for them in the long run, right? And so it's an evolution, right? The industry is changing, you know, month after month, quarter over quarter, but we're here for the long haul. And what I've discovered here is that in Florida, similar to New York, it's the sixth borough, depending on how you look at it, right? But the connectivity that we've seen here, I mean, this is the fastest growing state in the country right now, right? The nexus that we see between here and, you know, and the metro New York market is one that we feel that we have a great right to win in.
Now, Florida is a fast-paced, ever-changing market. There are some others as well, but certainly Florida right now, especially with, as you mentioned, and it's true for a variety of reasons, is very attractive in terms of home ownership, et cetera. What kinds of opportunities and challenges are you seeing as it relates to small, medium-sized businesses out there?
The biggest challenge right now is the acquiring of space. Right. If you're a business moving down here or trying to expand, the demand for commercial and industrial space, what we refer to as C&I, is very challenging, right? Where you used to be able to buy a 20,000 square foot parcel 15, 20 mm-hmm. years ago, those lots are they're gone. They're developed. It's either multifamily housing or
doubled
it's been
up.
Special use or mixed use properties. And so you've seen more and more of our clients and new entrants into the market buying in, you know, under discovered areas that were less well known 5-10 years ago. Even just in my short 5 years down here now, we've seen areas pop up overnight that, you know, historically really weren't commercial or industrial. And obviously, you know, Florida has a housing challenge, right? The amount of people moving here, you know, every day, every month is one that really prescribes the need for more affordable housing and the need for housing in general. Right. And so these are some of the challenges. But, you know, Florida is a very, very business friendly state. It is a place where things get done. And what I've come to appreciate is how many of our friends up in the boroughs, in the community, dare I say, you know, have put a flag down here. Right.
Yeah.
There's a great client of ours here, Joe Gopin, who runs a kosher food market. Right. That number one, it's 40,000 feet. I'll give you an example. There's one in Hollywood about 40,000 feet. You can't find 40,000 feet in New York, let alone for retail food,
but
he was able to
find
a location here that was an underdiscovered area 3, 4, 5 years ago before COVID. And you fast forward and the community has surrounded him, right? And I tell you, as I continue to learn my role, so I'm running our commercial banking business, our commercial real estate segment, you know, our financial branch network which we're sitting in here today, mm-hmm. and several other verticals. You know, the other thing that I have to do is bring them all together and deliver all of those products and solutions, you know, to our clients in a meaningful way.
Now, on that point, relationship banking, we hear that tossed around. You've touched on it earlier in this discussion. What does it actually look like when it's done right?
You know, I think you and I have become quite aligned on this topic. My definition of relationship is one that's multi-year, right? You know, one of my biggest challenges is maintaining bankers to continue to support the same relationships year after year, you know, time after time. My most successful relationships that I have personally have been those that I've known 15, 20, 25 years. And as I said to you before, in the, before we started to talk, you know, what I'm starting to see now are some of my old clients retiring, right? And getting into that next stage. And as I get to meet the next generations of these families, right? To be able to have that baseline of knowledge where I can say to a young buck,
you'll know more than the kids.
Exactly right. And I'll say to the kids, if you don't listen to what I'm telling you, I'm going to call your father, or I'm going to call your grandfather, and then they seem to listen a bit more. But I will tell you though that I truly believe this, right? From our CEO down, we are people focused. We are focused on our clients, you know, day in and day out. And for us, that's where we really want to grow this organization.
We're here in South Florida at City National Bank of Florida. We're actually here in Hollywood, Florida, that is.
Absolutely.
And I'm catching up with Josh Jordan, Senior Vice President, Regional Director of Business and Personal Banking at City National Bank of Florida. Josh, welcome to Mind Your Business.
Well, thank you for having me here, Scott, today. I appreciate it.
Special. Now, you've been in this world for quite some time. You don't look that old, but you've been in it for some time. What brought you into the world of banking?
Well, amazingly enough, I celebrated 20 years earlier this year. And
Mazel tov.
Thank you so much. I went to college about 20 miles up the road at Florida Atlantic University, where I got my BS in finance. And like a lot of 22-year-old kids, wasn't exactly sure what I was going to do when I got done with college. So I went into a financial services firm, learned for a couple years, and I had a buddy that I actually played basketball with. Okay. He said, hey, why don't you come over to this big East Coast bank? They have a great training program. I gave it a shot, and thank God, did very, very well in a couple of years. And then in 2009, I was able to come over with our CEO, George Gonzalez, and Mara Suarez, when City National Bank was just a $3 billion bank. And I've been here. Yeah, just a $3 billion bank. And then 16 years later, here we are, a $26 billion bank.
Amazing. Now, by the way, you touched on this. I was okay. Talk about your game of basketball a minute.
Listen, I'm pretty good. I played all through high school and I played 1 year in college. I used to be a practice player with the University of Connecticut.
Nice.
I used to routinely get dunked on by guys like Ray Allen and Richard Hamilton.
Wow.
So much better at banking than basketball.
Now, if I'm a business owner in Florida, why should I choose City National Bank of Florida?
And that's a great question. And I'm smiling now, of course, as I answer that, because I get that question sometimes 2, 3, 4 times a day. And when we're out there meeting with clients, I'd like to say that we are Florida's most iconic bank. I know that's a big statement. What does that actually mean? And I'll tell you what that means, Yitzchak, is when you actually call your banker, you see this thing called a phone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Our bankers and my relationship managers, they're actually going to pick up the phone. You're not calling around automated systems. You're not getting 800 numbers. So our clients really appreciate that personalized touch. The other big advantage that we have being here in South Florida is that we are local. What that means is we know the difference between Pompano Beach. We know the difference between Coral Springs. If you need something, you're going to have access to decision makers. I could jump in a car with my risk officer and be at your place of business in a half an hour or an hour. And that doesn't happen with the major banks.
Josh, you oversee both business and personal banking. Now, perhaps you can explain not just the difference, but the difference in the approach and the services and the benefits that you provide. Because for a business owner and for someone that's looking for a great partner for their personal finances, it's a different world.
Yeah, for business and personal banking, I could tell that's a mouthful, right? Everyone thinks business and personal are so different. But at the end of the day, our approach is we go after primarily commercial and business banking clients. We do a great job bringing them in. And at the end of the day, because we're doing such a good job with their business, it's only natural, Yitzchak, that you'd want to bring over your personal accounts, also your family and your employees. So that's normally how it works.
Okay, now, can I ask, like, let's say even from the clients that you service on a regular basis, how large of an enterprise is kind of the sweet spot of the businesses that you service?
In our segment, I would say anywhere between 1 and 25 million in terms of the business banking segment. Of course, we have a commercial banking segment that can go 25 million to 75 million. And then of course our corporate, which could go 100 million all the way to infinity, essentially.
Now, in terms of the types of businesses that you work with, real estate, retail, perhaps you can
explain. Professional, manufacturers, really we run the gamut. Title companies, attorneys, doctors. If it's a great business, and as long as it's kosher, so to speak, we're going to be okay.
Now, you're in touch with clients throughout the region, throughout South Florida. What are they looking for today, as opposed to perhaps 5 years ago? What are some of the trends or perhaps things you've learned over the last 5 years? It's been a very interesting last 5 years.
Absolutely. I think 5 years ago, Yitzchak, is probably a major—
the beginning of COVID.
Yeah, a major turning point was during COVID. At that time, I realized just how special it was to work at City National Bank, because we were able to help thousands of business customers that were actually in crisis. I would be on my phone literally at all hours of the night helping our customers, and they would call me and say, hey, can you help my friend Yitzchak? He's with one of the big banks. Nobody will call him back. And people were crying, panicking. Remember the PPP funds were gonna run out.
Yep.
And remember that whole craziness? So at that time, we were able to help, I wanna say, about 10,000 clients. Wow. And those customers till this day, they are our most loyal clients.
They'll never forget. You came through for them in the clutch.
100%. So what they learned at that point is how important it is to have that local contact. And that's us.
Now, clients who switch to City National Bank of Florida will probably point out, actually point out the whole different experience the feeling that there is a banker that actually cares for them. What do you think they'll notice initially first?
Well, I know what they notice first.
Okay.
Because they tell me, and again, for 16 years, we like to say we are the Cheers of banking. And what that means is everybody knows your name. When you come into our banking centers, we're gonna know who you are. We're gonna know who your kids are. In many cases, we're even gonna know who your pets are, your dog's names. And the clients love that personalized touch. And when I get out to visit them, that is the first thing that the clients tell us, is they're so happy they're with a bank who actually knows them.
Now, community. We know that's a big word. And my understanding is City National Bank of Florida plays a role in understanding the community, appreciating the community. The word community, what does that mean to you, and how does that manifest itself in your day-to-day work?
And I think you used it right, meaning it's a big word. I can't sit here and list all the community organizations and charities that the bank is involved in, because the truth of the matter, Yitzchak, we'd be here all day. But when I think about community, one of the things that I really like is we work with municipalities and those people who are looking to achieve the dream of home ownership. What happens is a lot of cities, for example, Hollywood or Delray Beach, will give grants to people looking to be first-time home buyers. Mm-hmm. How City National Bank comes into play is we actually created a special mortgage for those type of people that require a little bit less down payment. Mm-hmm. And combined with our mortgage, with the down payment from the municipality, we help people achieve that dream of home ownership.
Special.
So I think that's a very, very special way that we help the community.
Now, this is a similar question, but it has to do with the local touch. Can you share an example, an actual, either a story or an anecdote, where that local touch really had a great, meaningful impact?
And I think there's a lot, and that happens every day. Yeah. But one that comes to mind pretty recently is that we were actually referred a business owner from one of our good clients who had a very successful business with his wife for 20 years. Mm-hmm. They had the opportunity to purchase another business. Their bank just flat out told them no, because they didn't have an experience in that industry.
You mean they didn't have an experience in the one that they were purchasing?
Absolutely. So what ended up happening is I grabbed my risk officer, again, being local. We jumped in our car, we drove there. we were extremely impressed by the husband and the wife and the way that they ran their current business. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that the business they were buying, I was very familiar with. Oh, wow. It was actually in my town. And we said, there's no way that these people can run their current business the way they have for 20 years and not be able to run this new business. So we made a very good decision. Again, I actually had my risk officer with me. Mm-hmm. We structured the deal. Until this day, those are some of my best clients, and they refer us clients every day. Why? Because we listened and we came up with a solution. And that is City National Bank in a nutshell.
I mean, as opposed that, you know, it's known in general in banking, you gotta fit into the box. If you don't fit in the box, I'm sorry, it doesn't work out. But you're basically sharing with the listeners here that you'll figure it out, obviously within boundaries, you'll go to the nth degree to figure it out in order to make it work.
I have been taught for 16 years here by our CEO and executive leadership team, we do not like to say no. We want to try and figure out a way to say yes. Now, it's not going to work all the time, right, but we do our absolute best to see if we can figure out an answer. And I like to say, if CMB can't figure it out, probably nobody will be able to figure it out.
By the way, we'd be remiss if we didn't thank, we're not done with the questions yet, but a couple of key stars that put this all together, of course, Mike McIntyre, and Karina and Ben and the great team here at City National Bank.
They've all been great behind the scenes, organizing and making us feel very good and shooting this in our beautiful location in Hollywood.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, again, we're coming to you from Hollywood, Hollywood, Florida. Yes. So, okay. Now, in the story that you shared about that you figured out and you realized that this husband and wife were banking partner for 20 years and they just happened to be buying another business that they weren't so familiar with. Yeah. So that you would figure it out, and especially the fact that you knew the business they were getting into. You know, that's like special. I'm just gonna ask you an obvious question here. Did they ever turn to you even just for guidance? Say, hey, you know, Josh, you're a dear friend. I just have a question or two. You know, we're in this business. It's new for us. Yeah. You know it.
Yeah.
Can I have your ear for a minute?
Yeah, listen, they definitely ran some ideas because they were purchasing the business and they were going to modernize it. And so they, like a monthly subscription, other things. Between me and my banker, they asked us a lot of questions regarding it. They already had it down. They knew what they were going to do, and it was our job just to support them.
Here's an interesting question, and that is, if you could, obviously I'm not asking for anything confidential, obviously.
Yes.
But is there, perhaps you could share a story where the previous story, you also jumped through hoops to make it happen.
We love to jump through hoops, yes.
Can you share another story, please?
Yes, just recently, we onboarded a title company, okay? And they reached out to my relationship manager with a little bit of a problem. As you know, Yitzchak, sometimes at real estate closings, there's monies dispersed to many different people.
Yeah, they got it. Right. All those checks.
Right. In this case, they were having someone, not everybody has a bank account. And
what?
So, yeah, there's some people, amazingly enough, they can't so they can't get a wire.
Right.
They can't cash a normal check. They actually wanted cash. We strongly advise against large amounts of cash. So we said, no problem. We will cut you a cashier's check. The title company said, only problem, Josh, is we have two people in the office today. So my relationship manager said, no problem. I will jump in my car. He drove a half an hour and delivered that check. And that's exactly the type of service we said, if you get in a pinch, call us and we'll take care of you. So that touches on everything that we've been talking throughout
that's
the last 15
difficult.
Minutes.
That's just not difficult.
And they were so happy. They sent me an email that night.
That's special.
Yeah, it feels
special.
Good.
Josh, before I let you, this is a great engaging interview.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, could you share a tip? Again, you're doing this for quite a few decades.
Yes.
Share a tip of great business advice that the listeners of Mind the Business could take away. Say, you know, Josh, he may be a great banker, but he's also a great business mind.
I think it would be much like my parents told me growing up. And my dad, he had his PhD in finance, was a professor at NYU. And he always said, slow down. So slow down. What does that mean to a business owner?
Right.
Whether you're looking to purchase another business, whether you're looking to hire perhaps a CPA or attorney, don't be in a rush. If you're hiring employees, my advice would just be slow down, interview a number of people, and you could apply that to, I'm sure Yitzchak, if you're going to a doctor, and you need a procedure done, you're probably going to do your research. You're going to probably go see two or three different surgeons, God forbid, right? So the same thing with a business owner is just don't rush into relationships. That would be my best advice.
Now, by the way, you know, it's very important advice, especially because let's be honest, the mindset of an entrepreneur is usually jump in head first.
Yes.
Let's just get it done. Yeah. Right? I mean, I'm sure you deal with that. Like, yeah, and sometimes you gotta, whoa.
I have absolutely seen it. And you know, sometimes it works out and you hear about these amazing stories and sometimes I hear the other side. So like you said, you asked me for my best advice and slow down and take a minute and evaluate all the facts. And again, if you need be and you have that trusted advisor, you wanna reach out to me, Joshua Jordan. I'm at joshua.jordan@citynational.com. I'd be happy to help you.
We're catching up here with Josh Jordan, Senior Vice President, Regional Director of Business and Personal Banking at City National Bank of Florida. We're recording this session here in Hollywood, Florida. Josh, a real pleasure.
Well, thank you for your time, Yitzchak. Looking forward to doing this again, hopefully soon.
Amazing. On this episode of Mind Your Business, we're catching up with Joe Gopin. Joe Gopin is the founder and owner of now three KC markets throughout South Florida. And I'll be sharing the mic with Mike McIntyre and Josh Jordan here of City National Bank of Florida. Welcome to Mind Your Business.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
Okay. I'm going to turn over to my colleagues with a couple of great questions. But if I may, two great key questions that someone like yourself, I mean, the show, we feature all types of Fortune 500 executives over the years. And when I look at you, this vision, you started with one store, even to take on the first store was vision, and then two, and then three. And I don't know if you want to share your future plans, but like, talk about vision. So many people want to hear it. It's such a big word, but please, you know, because you live it.
Sure. So I would say that even when you're starting off a small operation like I did, I guess by nature I'm just a dreamer. So I always dreamed big, and I always knew that I wanted to grow big. But you have to start somewhere. So you start with where you're at, and you just plow away, work hard. It takes a long time. You can't give up. Our first store, like I was saying, we started in 2010 and it only took off in 2019. So people look at my business today and they think, wow, what a success story. But it took me almost nine years to really grind away and build it up to where it needed to be. But once it took off, it takes on a life of its own. And the new opportunities come to you. You don't have to go after them. So,
in fact, maybe you could just share on that, because it's such an important point, especially entrepreneurs, small business owners. They just long like, I just want to see results. I mean, you know, okay, you want one quarter, two quarters, a year, 2 years. Yeah. Come on.
But like, I feel like, you know, I heard this good saying, people say that small businesses, when they start, they overestimate what they can do in a year or two. And they underestimate what they could do in 10 years. And I feel that really applies to me, because in the first year or two, it's not gonna take off, but you just have to keep on grinding. And if you stay the course and you're consistent, it will come through.
Amazing. Here's a question, and it's always so enjoyable to ask business owners that are out there on the front lines. Can you please share a tip? An important business tip for all the listeners, the viewers of the show. Perhaps, I mean, you could share whatever you want, but maybe it could even be related to the importance of never losing sight of the customer experience, as big as you may scale, but every customer is unique.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we're all about. If you lose sight of your customer, you have nothing. I mean, so we obsess over the customer. From the minute the customer drives into our parking lot, we try our best. Some of our locations, like Hollywood, has a tough parking lot because we have so much traffic, but we do our best. We just redid it to the best that we could. Mm-hmm. But the minute they walk in the door, it has to be a pleasant experience. The employees that are servicing them take care of them. They have a personal relationship with them. Cashiers have personal friends, customers that come in. It's a pleasant place to shop. And that's what it boils down to. If your customers are happy, they'll keep on coming.
I'm going to hand it over to Mike and then to Josh.
This is Mike McIntyre, Chief Banking Officer for City National Bank here in Hollywood, Florida. We're here today with one of our customers, Joe Gopin, founder and CEO of KC Markets. Joe, welcome.
Thank you. So good to be here.
Joe, I love talking to small businesses. So tell me your story.
So we go back. I opened our first location in 2010 in Hollywood. Actually, before that, I was in the farmers market business in Hallandale, where we just opened our last location. And that was a short-term deal. We had to get out. It was a short-term lease. And when the lease finished, this opportunity came up in Hollywood for our Hollywood location. And we took it over from an existing business. We ran it for a few years. Then we decided to renovate and expand the location. That took us a few years. We finished the expansion and renovation in 2019. Right before COVID.
Great timing.
Yes, thank God for that. And it exploded, you know, once we finished. And we have this great business model where we run our core business, and we also have these concepts, concessions in our business. And that really does well for us. People love it.
Now you have three locations, and I've been to your stores. They're fantastic. And obviously the quality is outstanding. How do you scale up while also maintain the quality of your products?
Thank you. Thanks for the compliment, by the way. And by the way, it's really nice to be in this bank. It's with my best banker.
Josh so, Jordan, who we'll bring on
Josh,
a little later on today.
Steve, the whole team, really nice. How do you scale? So once we finished the renovation, and it really, that location was doing well, so I felt like we had a good business model, a nice prototype, and all of a sudden, opportunities started coming to us. The Hallandale location, the developer of that location actually reached out to me and asked me if I would be willing. We met with him to look at the space, and we thought it was a great opportunity, so we jumped on it. And while we were doing that renovation, the Boynton location opportunity came up, and they also approached us. So if you have a good business model, opportunities come your way. And in order to scale, you just need to have the right people, the right management team. And thank God we're lucky with that.
So Joe, you've got a great business, and it is the ultimate people business, right? So you clearly have success in hiring top talent, growing multiple locations. What do you value in the people that you work with, the people that you hire?
So I would say the most important quality to me is people that are passionate and care about what they do. So the managers, they live and breathe their departments, the concessions, that the owner operators, they love what they do. They're just, they wake up and they love going to work. That's the kind of people that I love working with. They might not be, even if they don't come with the best credentials and they don't have the best background, but they'll learn on the job if they care about it.
The purpose of this show, besides meeting great customers and successful business leaders, is really to provide paying it forward knowledge to other business owners, right? So for those people that are starting up new businesses or looking to take their business to the next level, what are those inflection points that you've had in your career that you would say really drove you to that next level of success?
So I would say, my advice to other small businesses that are looking to scale, I would say that the most important thing for me was having your financials in order, so that you could come to a lender like City National and not have an issue getting the loans that you need to be able to grow. So I find that a lot of small businesses, like I was, they run it like a small little operation, and I think that's a mistake. I think that if you run your business as an independent operation and you have your numbers in line, it's much easier to come to a lender and get the loans that you need.
We're speaking with Joe Gopin, founder and CEO of KC Supermarkets here in Florida from our branch in Hollywood today. You know, you mentioned banking before. I have to ask a selfish question. What brought you to City National Bank?
So during COVID, I was reading a newspaper, an article about there was a program from the government called Main Street Lending. That the government was giving in, and it was a very unique kind of program. Most banks were not touching it, and the article spoke about City National, that they were specializing in this loan. So I walked into the branch after I read the article. I said, let me try and talk to them. So they said that we would have loved to give it to you, but we don't have a relationship with you. But if you, once you start a relationship with us and you're working with us for a while, it would be, you know, we would be able to do lending. So I started a relationship with them. Then I didn't get the Main Street lending, but I did get quite a bit of funding from you guys in the last few years. And it was a pleasure working with you.
When we were speaking backstage earlier today, we talked about your supply chains and how you truck in goods regularly from throughout the country. What have been some of your challenges in managing your supply chains?
It's a constant challenge, really, day to day. That's probably one of the hardest part of our business. Getting the goods to our shelves on time. We have trucking on a weekly basis, especially because we're kosher. So it's not a product that's readily available to us day to day. We do have some local distribution, but we buy most of our product from New York. So that's a challenge, dealing with truckers, dealing with vendors that are not close by, but we deal with it. We roll with the punches. And then we also have further logistical challenges because we're delivering within our own company. We have our own logistics team. So that's the business we're in.
Joe, as we close, what else should we be thinking about as you look to grow your future business locations?
So I'm always looking at growing new locations. I mean, once we feel comfortable and we absorb the new locations that we just opened, we opened two locations in the last year, I'm going to look to grow and grow my footprint in South Florida.
Can you speak a little bit about the demographic shift of folks moving down to Florida that appreciate and actually expect or demand kosher food?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been unbelievable, the amount of people that are moving down here from New York, from up north. I'm seeing them every day. Like, I mean, new areas that, you know, like the area in Boynton, that's something that you couldn't dream about, having a kosher store the size that we have there just a few years ago. And now we have a 40,000 square foot store there.
A 40,000 square foot kosher supermarket in Boynton.
Yes.
I have to say, I had the opportunity to sample some of your goods earlier today at lunch, and I felt like I was back on 18th Avenue Borough Park or Coney Island Avenue in Flatbush or down in Lakewood.
That's a major compliment for us.
You know, as a good Catholic boy from Borough Park, it's great to be down here in Florida hanging out with folks that have that connectivity back to New York. Joe, great to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
Thanks again.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Joshua Jordan, Senior Vice President with City National Bank. I'm here today with Joe Gopin, owner of KC Oasis and KC Supermarket from Hollywood and KC Boynton. Joe, I have a question for you today. What actually made you purchase as opposed to lease the property in Hallandale?
It's a great question. I feel like a lot of businesses don't take advantage of this, but I think it's a major advantage to have your own property. If you're building a business and growing and you're going to be there long term, so why spend that money and build someone else's assets if you could build your own asset and you get the depreciation, you build the equity, the asset only grows in value all around. It's just a great program. I would do it again any day. I'm very happy with it.
Right. It's no different than in your personal life, right? Renting versus owning.
Exactly.
You get the appreciation. Hopefully in the future, you'll have the equity. If you ever need to pull any equity out to expand your business,
absolutely.
All kinds of benefits.
Absolutely.
And another question I had for you was, when I first came into your first market in Hollywood, I was blown away by the concept. Can you talk a little bit about, normally when you go into a supermarket, of course you have your dry goods, your salads, your meats, but when I saw all the vendors going around the perimeter of your store, how did you come up with that idea?
It's actually a concept that it's more popular in New York. Some kosher markets are doing that more now. South Florida was not doing it. I was the first one to start that, and we tried it out with one vendor, and it was really going well. We were very happy, so we just slowly started expanding it with more and more vendors. Today we have 10 concessions in our store, and they're all very happy. The model really works for us. I mean, there's no right or wrong. It's what works for you in business, but for me, that works.
Right, because I have to tell you, when I left there that day, I remember calling my boss and saying, we have to work with this business, because I was so impressed. So
thank you.
Congratulations on that day and on your continued expansion.
Thank you so much, Josh. It's a pleasure to work with you.
All right, well, thank you, Joe.
On Mind Your Business, in general, we speak with leaders in the business world. Every once in a while, I get a chance to speak with someone who's a leader in the business world, but is also doing great work for humanity. Andrew Sawson, it's an honor to be on the set with you.
Thank you.
Co-founder and CEO of Recovery Unplugged, behavioral health, substance abuse, and mental health facilities. It's very special. You know, we all have family. And some people sometimes in life, certain situations come up and they take a wrong turn, so to speak. And you have solutions to help them.
Yes.
We're here as part of the show with City National Bank of Florida, but perhaps you could talk about how you're changing the world.
Thank you. I appreciate you asking me to be here to let people know about what we do, why we're doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, as you said, I don't think there's anybody out there right now that isn't battling something. Some people are able to handle it in different ways. About 15 years ago, my wife and I found ourselves helping several family members in and out of treatment. And I was at a Tony Robbins seminar and made the joke that it'd be cheaper for me to open up a treatment center for my friends and family than keep paying for other ones. That joke turned into a meeting with Paul Pellinger, Marshall Geiser, Richie Supa.
And if only it was a joke.
Right. And that led to the creation of Recovery Unplugged. Our first clients were several of our family members that are clean and sober 11 years, 12 years later. Mm. And as of June, today is June 18th, my birthday today. Thank you. But at the end of this month, we'll have helped 20,000 people.
20,000?
20,000 people, which started at literally down the street, 15 minutes from here, with a 30-bed outpatient center that now we have 12 locations in six states.
Can you repeat that? 12 locations in six states.
Yeah. This was
20,000 people.
Yeah, this was not what I was going to do with my life. I was in the insurance business. I was in other
things.
When
you were a teenager, what were you dreaming of? If I could put you on the spot.
When I was a teenager, and I still have the list of things that I had. I was fortunate enough. I had a mentor growing up, Steve Einhorn, my best friend's dad, who I still speak to weekly today. It was the first call this morning that he called me to wish me happy birthday. And Steve, when I was a kid, brought me to see Zig Ziglar when I was 14, sure. And then Les Brown, and then he introduced me to Tony Robbins' world. So I still have the original list of things I wanted to do. Owned the Miami Dolphins, gave up on that. Wanted all of these things that are irrelevant now that I have a wonderful wife and children. And
saving the world.
And wanting to do good in the world. But, you know, what I realized very early on is that what we were able to do actually made a difference. I didn't understand how utilizing music as a catalyst for evidence-based therapy was going to work. I was our own first skeptic. And when we first started, I had several people calling me, judges here in South Florida, going, hey, I'm going to send you somebody and they're going to play the guitar and stop drinking. They're going to sing a song and stop shooting heroin. I don't get it. And so what we realized early on was utilizing music to break down defenses and build rapport. Mm-hmm. That's what made the difference. Nobody wants to go to rehab. Nobody wants to go to a facility. Right. But when they're there and you connect to them, that's where we found the power. And then we do evidence-based therapy that works. You know, unfortunately, the relapse ratio in America is 88%.
Mm.
Right? That's a horrible statistic. And if you do the same thing over and over again, expect a different result,
right, that's
it doesn't
the definition
work.
Of insanity.
We, Nova Southeastern University here in Davie, Florida, has been doing an outcome study on us for 9 years now. And so our success rate is 50.3%, which is
beyond
4.5 times better than the national average. To me, My goals, obviously, 100%.
100%. But
there is no cure. There is no silver bullet. But, you know, I've been grateful for the opportunities to help people. I've been grateful for the people that have allowed us to help people. I've been grateful for, you know, why we're sitting here.
Right.
Because without the relationship with City National, we wouldn't have been able to grow. We wouldn't have been able to expand. And at the time I met them, we wouldn't have been able to stay in business.
Mm. It's amazing how partnerships. In fact, before I hand it over, and we're all fighting over the opportunity to interview you. Mm-hmm. So Mike McIntyre is going to have a chance. And of course, you know, Josh, our very own Josh Jordan. Sure. Perhaps you could just share a tip. I always ask this of accomplished people. What's a good tip that people in business should like hold on to, they'll remember, like, oh, that was a great tip from Andy?
You know, for me, you know, everybody has different things. For me, it's just persistence. Keep moving forward. I keep moving forward because I believe in what we're doing. If you believe in what you're doing and you keep moving forward and you have persistence, there's really nothing that can stop you, right? Like, you know, I could give 100 examples or 1,000 of this, whether it be regulatory or COVID or money or whatever it may be. But if you have a vision and a mission and a plan, right? You can't just, you know, run in circles.
But and focus.
If you keep moving forward and have persistence, for me, you know, that's what's worked. And it's all started 26 years ago, the first time I did a fire walk with Tony Robbins. I didn't understand the thought process in it, right? But the real thought process is keep moving forward, which is once you take the first step, you're gonna take the rest of them. And I've now done 19 fire walks with Tony, and I've brought over 250 of our employees through that, and over 1,000 people, because the thought process, you know, of that event of, you know, once you take this first step, if you can do this, what else can't you do? But just keep moving forward. And that to me has been, you know, what's kept us going and got us here.
It's not easy for me, but I'm going to have to share the mic with Mike McIntyre and Josh Jordan.
Thank you.
We're here with Andrew Sossen, co-founder and CEO of Recovery Unplugged, a behavioral health company. Andrew, you came in today coincidentally to do a transaction, right? Which first of all, on behalf of the bank, I thank you for doing that. But, you know, tell me a little bit about, you know, what does personalized service mean to you?
Sure. One of the things that I'm, you know, not to mention any other banks, I've worked with a dozen different banks over the last 26 years in my career. And I will say, not because I'm just sitting here, but City National has been absolutely fantastic. When I need something, Brian Oshiro, you know, he answers my phone day and night, even though he doesn't need to. And I text him and say, you can call me back tomorrow. He'll still call me back right away, sometimes even on the weekends. And when I come into any branch, everybody's friendly. Everybody knows me. I need something done and it gets done. And for me, that has not been the case in a lot of other places. And, you know, even above Brian, whether it's, you know, in the different branches, anywhere I've been, and we've had some challenging situations over the years where things had to happen quickly. And, you know, everybody from the team has been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, this interview is going to be seen by thousands of small business owners here in the state of Florida and probably beyond the state as well. You have a national reach in your organization. I would love for you to offer some advice, some counsel to small businesses that are struggling to get to that next plateau in their journey.
You know, for me, it's about the team that you surround yourself with. And I know there's a lot of solopreneurs, you know, that's a thing today. But even if you're running your own thing, having the right team and mentors, you know, from the right legal counsel, you know, the right banking. I mean, no matter what, for us early on, you know, I realized as we were growing this, you know, when we first started, banking didn't matter, but it really did. And so, you know, having the right legal counsel, having the right CFO, financial counsel for every small business is imperative. You know, I believe that you can do a lot more today and self-teach yourself. And there's a lot of things to learn on YouTube, but I still believe in people, human beings. And I believe having the right people, you know, on your team is the key to any business.
You know, we try to deliver great customer service with cutting edge technology. How is technology impacting your industry?
It's interesting. You know, for us, I believe right now in June 2025, we still need humans for a lot of things, but we also are leveraging technology today, right now, today, this week at Recovery Unplugged. We launched our first AI call center agent, which is allowing me to keep every one of my call center employees employed and B, take a lot of busy work out of the situation.
So AI is actually keeping people employed. Hear the opposite.
With us, us it is. In addition, at Recovery Unplugged, you know, our therapists are great therapists, but for us to be able to get paid for the work that we do, we have to have good note taking. And a lot of times, if a therapist is worried about the notes they're writing, that may distract from actually helping the person. And our therapists have done an amazing job. And all therapists, you know, have had this battle for decades. Now there's HIPAA compliant AI note taking for therapists that we employed this year that is a game changer, because now the therapist can focus on the client. And because of that, they can do a better job. And then just, you know, to add to City National, we had a situation sometime in the last 3 months where there was fraud. There was somebody hacked our account, sent a fake email, a fake voice recording. It was a whole situation. It was a six-figure wire that City National caught and didn't send out because of your AI. That literally happened, I believe it was March or so. I didn't believe it at first. And then, you know, we spoke to the Brian, the team, but it was your AI that caught the fraud that three people didn't see. Because, you know, people are getting better at what they do there. So from our perspective, we're able to help more people with technology and keep more people employed. And with your technology, you saved us from losing over $144,000 to be exact.
Well, Andrew, I've learned a lot just by listening to you in the last 10 minutes here. The fact that AI can actually help people keep their jobs is one that I think we spend, you know, a little bit more time as an industry talking about, because you always hear about AI impacting careers. But from what I'm hearing, listening to you right now, it's actually helping you to grow your business and keep the people you have with you right now.
Yes. 6 months ago, I took our leadership team, 23 people, and told all of them that I will invest in an AI that will benefit each one of their departments so we could keep everybody there. And it's been able to make every one of our teams more efficient. Not all of them have worked great, but about half of them have made all of our teams able to do more. And that's what makes the difference.
Andrew, thanks for your time today. Really appreciate it.
I'm Joshua Jordan, personal and business banking president at City National Bank. Today, I'm here with Andrew Sasson, co-founder of Recovery Unplugged. Nice to be here with you today, Andrew.
Great to be here. Really happy to be able to have this discussion with you.
Well, everybody loves a good success story. And Andrew, when I reached out to you a couple of weeks ago, I was blown away by a story that you shared with me. Can you share with the audience what's happened recently with you and one of your success stories at Recovery Unplugged?
Sure. When we started Recovery Unplugged, you know, as I said before, you know, it was for couple family members that we wanted to help that are doing fantastic a decade or a dozen years later. And so as we've grown over the years, we've helped a lot of people. And 98% of all of our clients are regular people that have no musical ability. I can't sing, dance, play an instrument to save my life.
Sounds like me.
Right. Yeah. But we do happen to have musicians that do come through. We've worked with the Grammy Foundation, Sims Foundation, and others. And so about 6 years ago, we had a gentleman that had come through from Fort Lauderdale. He had a heroin addiction, very bad, you know, almost died multiple times. Came through Recovery Unplugged, got clean, then started to work for us. We have a concert every Friday at every one of our facilities, which is now live streamed for anybody that wants to watch, 2 p.m. Eastern, called Feel Good Friday. And so Adam started playing in our Feel Good Friday concerts and working with our therapists to work with our clients during our music groups with the therapy. Fast forward, that's been 5 years. Adam has played every single gig for $20 to $100 in South Florida, built his name up, and ended up doing an audition here in South Florida for the TV show The Voice. Won the audition, got to LA. You know, I've always known, you know, the talented people that we have, but it was actually my father. My father comes every Friday to our concert, sits in the back, and tells everybody that Adam, you know, is a rock star. He's been saying this for 5 years. And we're like, sure, what do you know? You're 80.
Of course.
Well,
Dad.
Fast forward, Adam ends up winning the semifinals, gets to the finals. Michael Bublé chose him for his team, and he just won The Voice for the world, the country, 2 weeks ago. And so here's a guy who literally was, you know, on the street, you know, future was not bright, got clean. In addition to getting clean, used his talent using music to help others, you know, and now the sky is the limit. Very excited, you know, about that. And it just shows what you can do, you know, that people can recover. You know, I've seen it, you know, we have, and that's a very recent, amazing story, but I've seen people, you know, one of the things I'm most proud of is, in addition to what Adam's done, is that we currently have 7 people on our leadership team that were Recovery Unplugged clients over the last 10 years. People that came in, you know, had nothing, were at the bot, and now they're running divisions of companies and, you know, have 20, 30, 50 people working for them, running 7-figure P&Ls, you know, that 10 years ago, 9 years ago, everybody, including themselves, had given up on them. And so that's the proof of what we've been able to do. That's what drives me every day. And that's what I'm grateful for and what we do.
I mean, that's incredible. It's really like a miracle in some sense that happened. It's a testament to you, your drive, your business.
My team.
And helping people.
My team. I have a good vision, but I have an amazing team. You know, from our leadership team, from our therapists, we currently now have over 600 full-time team members throughout the country with Recovery Unplugged. And I couldn't have ever imagined this.
Well, that's an awesome story. And shifting gears here a little bit, I remember it must have been 8-10 years ago. I get a call from Jeremy, my brother, introducing you. And at that time, he said, hey, listen, I want you to talk to my friend Andrew. He's got a lot going on. What do you remember from our first interaction with the bank and dealing with me? And I remember I introduced you to Brian. Here we are 10 years later. You're still talking about Brian and
yeah.
his service. So I think that's amazing in itself. But if you could tell the audience a little bit about your relationship with Brian, with me, and City National Bank and how it started.
Yeah. You know, it was the challenges that I was facing with other institutions. We had 2 different that we were working with that just were not giving us the service that we needed. And I think some of the people there, they were good people, but they were limited by the way the structure was. And I, you know, saw your brother literally outside walking. I walk with my kids every night that I'm home, saw your brother with his kids. And we started talking and I don't even know how it came up. He asked me how I was going and I just started complaining about a situation I had. I'm like, do you know any bankers? He's like, and he called you up right there yeah. on his phone. And then we met at YOLO in Fort yep. Lauderdale.
Yep.
And it was, you know, from the moment we met, it wasn't just a sales pitch. You know, I could genuinely tell that you and Brian cared about what I was doing and actually could help us. And from day one, you know, you guys met with my team, our CFO and my partner, and, you know, came in and just, you know, it was a big challenge at first because
I remember,
you know, transferring over everything. And we were very scared because, you know, we have very, very thin margins in this business. And I was worried, you know, if it takes an extra week to get a deposit, you know, how are we going to make payroll?
Right. With the insurance transfers oh, yeah. and the delays, we know all but about that.
It worked, you know, and we built from there. And then as we've grown, you know, we've grown with you. Right. And though I do call and ask for everything all the time and I don't always expect to get it. You guys have been fantastic in allowing us to, you know, open up these other locations, get the loans that we need and continue to help save lives.
Well, we're thrilled, Andrew, to have been a part in your success. And we look forward to working for you with many more years to come.
So
thank you so much for joining us today.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And we're here on the set here in South Florida. And this show brought to you by City National Bank of Florida, where we're speaking with executives at the bank. And of course, some wonderful individuals, business leaders, who also happen to do a lot of work with the bank. And now we're catching up with Paul Feldman, real estate attorney from the law offices of Paul Feldman. Thank you for joining us here on Mind Your Business.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
So now let's talk about your practice. You're doing this for a couple of years, quite a few years.
Over 20 now. It's
over 20 years. Wow. Now, what was the aha moment that got you into this field?
Listen, my father was a real estate lawyer here in South Florida for over 30 years. And I had the privilege of taking over his law practice. So collectively, it's 50 years in the family.
Half a century.
Yeah. So we've been doing this for a long time. My father unfortunately passed away, but I took over his practice, you know, over 20 years ago. And I've specifically focused only on real estate law and real estate closings and bank, you know, real estate closings. So we've been at this for a while now.
Now, before we get back to the world of real estate, perhaps you could even share a tip. This is really fascinating. People always love to hear about businesses that transferred from one generation to the next. That's not a kunst.
No, absolutely. Listen, I was a young lawyer when I took over the practice. This is going back a long time ago. And I had the privilege of taking it over with a solid client base. My father was a real estate lawyer here in South Florida, and he had a lot of international clients. And I started straight out of law school. But I had the privilege of, you know, he was a mentor to me, and we went in it, and I've been doing this for a long time now.
And again, how many years did you overlap?
We only overlapped for 1 year. So it was a short amount of time, but we took over.
Now, with so many changes in real estate, it's true that every business has changes, but certainly over the last couple of years, the real estate world has been, for a variety of reasons, mortgage rates, for a variety of reasons. What is the secret sauce that you would recommend for staying on top of industry trends and, you know, staying ahead of the curve?
Listen, things are always shifting. Things are always moving. The key to be on top of it is to partner up with a good lawyer, a good law firm. I have the privilege of being together with City National Bank, okay? And within the bank, there is a great legal team where we know what we're doing. And I think the key is to partner up with the best lawyer you can find.
Excellent. That's just critical. What about staying on top of trends? Is there anything you recommend in terms of either reading, any type of content that you recommend, just so that people really stay on top of what's going on?
Listen, your lawyer will be able to tell you what's new and happening, you know, depending on what you need. There's so many different areas. You know what I mean? For instance, there's new grants that come available that the government gives you subsidies and opportunities. You need to know about that. There are new tax laws that come out. You need to know banks offer different programs and different rates. So me as an attorney for the bank, I could tell you what's hot and what products are available. And there's always new things that the bank offers and tries to promote. And financing is the key to every real estate transaction. So I know City National Bank, for example, sometimes they have special SBA programs, and you want to get in there while it's hot. It makes a huge difference. And sometimes the bank drops the rate. Sometimes the banks, you know, offer different products that are unique and special. And you want to get into it.
We're speaking with Paul Feldman, a noted real estate attorney here in South Florida at the beautiful Hollywood branch of City National Bank of Florida. By the way, how could people get in touch with you? What's the website of your firm or your email address?
www.feldmanclosings.com. And my email address is simple, paul@feldmanclosings.com.
Let's continue. Every business reaches pivotal moments, right? That's just the, you know, inflection points, if you will. Can you please share a moment that when your outfit scaled and you had to make a gutsy call and like, phew, it worked out well?
There's so many. This is it's so hard to narrow down one because Okay. Every day we're making critical decisions.
It's true.
And representing our clients. That's the role of business. That's how we do it. You know what I mean? So every day we have to make decisions, right? And we have to go to bat for our clients to make sure the transactions close on time. And sometimes we have to advocate when the client can't close on time. We have to get them that extension. So we're here to help and advocate for our clients and make ABC always be closing.
ABC, always be clear. That's a great one. Now, you've worked on real estate deals with City National Bank of Florida. We all know how, and you touched on this, how, if we could even use the word stressful and challenging, this world is, because everything is very time sensitive. Sometimes, and again, you could be at a closing and there's seven people around the table and everything has to align and work that perfectly. Perhaps you could talk about like how you manage all that, all the different moving parts in order to complete a successful closing.
You know, I'll tell you the secret sauce that everybody needs to know, and that is to be kind and develop relationships. And what I've seen over and over again, when you're kind and respectful and you maintain your relationships in the industry, it eliminates so much stress from a transaction because people truly want to cooperate and help you to get to the finish line. And I've seen it over and over again that kindness, respect, and diligence and professionalism throughout the transaction makes all the difference in the world, especially when you get to know people, you do the transactions over and over and over with the same people. It just makes all the difference in the world.
You know, Paul, it's so special and so important that you're sharing that, because we live in a day and age where a lot of people are just hiding behind, in social media, or they're just communicating through WhatsApp or whatever the case may be. And they're losing that human touch and not realizing, like you're talking about, when someone's around the table with a very big transaction and there are 6, 7, 8 other players at the table, and you didn't build up that relationship, you haven't proven how kind and special you are, and then you just expect to, like, kind of a bull in the china shop, just run through, yeah, just sign the papers, what's the big deal? Not realizing, hey, you know, we're all human.
It's more than that. It's a small community of real estate lawyers that focus only on real estate transactions. So over a course of a career, you get to know people, and it's the same people over and over and over again. And as long as you maintain professionalism and a good reputation, people truly want to help you. And that goes not only for lawyers, but within the bank itself. The team wants to help their clients and make sure transactions close and they close smoothly and professionally, because we don't want to let anybody down. We want to make sure that everybody's happy.
Now, Paul, I'm going to share the mic with Josh Jordan, who has a couple of questions. But before I sign off with you, perhaps you could share a good business tip. You could probably share hundreds, but maybe one or two come to mind that is just like anyone watching this is, you know, Paul's right. I should be acing that tip.
Well, listen, I want to think of the right business tip, but it's such a broad.
Okay.
But what I would tell you is as follows. The number one business tip that I can possibly share with you is get up early. Okay. Start your day early. Okay. And be honest. What I've noticed is honesty in business, telling the truth, whether it be your bank, whether it be to, you know what I mean, the other side. Honesty is the best policy. At the end of the day, you develop a reputation for honesty. It comes back for good. And what I've noticed is the people that are sneaky and try to get away with things, okay, it ends up biting them. It doesn't work, and they ruin the reputation for nothing. And I would say the number one best business advice that I can give anybody is do the honest and true right thing, and you'll be rewarded in the end.
Very special. All right, now I'm going to hand it off to Josh.
I'm Joshua Jordan, Personal and Business Banking Director at City National Bank. I'm here today with Paul Feldman of Feldman Closing. How are you doing today, Paul?
Josh, I'm so happy to be here with you.
We've worked together for a number of years, Paul. Can you take me back in your mind to the first time we met and how we started to do business together?
I remember like it was yesterday, okay? A lot of my clients were coming to the bank to request that they send wires to my bank account. And it happened so many times that eventually you and your team noticed, who is this guy, Paul Feldman? We keep sending so many wires to Paul Feldman. I want to meet this guy and see what's going on. And you guys requested a meeting with me. And you came to my office and you said, Paul, why aren't you banking with us? And I said, well, I've always banked with another bank. Mm-hmm. I'm interested, but it's going to be a lot of work to transition. You said, Paul, I'm going to hold your hand and make it the easiest transition ever. And I said, why not? And ever since then, I've been hooked. I love it. You guys are the best bank, and I'm grateful to be working with you.
Well, we really appreciate it. You know, our clients say the same thing all the time also. And that leads me to the other question I wanted to ask you, Paul, is oftentimes I'll get calls from you or WhatsApp, reach out to this customer and take care of them. And I think you touched on it a little earlier today, but how is it that you build such a relationship with your client that you just say, hey, here, call Josh, listen to him or listen to Cameron or listen to Brian, and they're gonna take care of you. What is it that you're doing with your client that you're earning that level of trust?
Well, I think my clients know that I sincerely care. I want them to be happy. I want them to succeed. And I care about their transaction as much as I would care about myself. And I just want them to be happy. And I want them to have a good feeling from the process. So when you call me, you tell me a bank customer needs my assistance, they become my customers. I know you treat your bank customers like family. They become my family. And we develop relationships and we want everybody to be happy. I look out for you just like you look out for me. And we're a team.
Yeah, I really appreciate the relationship that we formed over the years. And I look forward to working many more years together.
God bless you,
Josh. All right, thank you, Paul.
Mike, the bank has grown a lot in recent years. What's been some of the most exciting changes you've seen? And if I may ask, what's upcoming on the horizon, if you're allowed to share?
So it's like I've been here for 6 months. So here's what I can tell you. I can tell you that the bank has gone from 2 to 26 billion in the last 10 to 15 years, which from a growth perspective is obviously extraordinary. The compound annual growth for this company has been amazing the last 10 to 15 years. But you eventually reach a plateau, and then you have to really start to figure out how do you pivot to the next level, right? We have responsibilities to our regulators to make sure that we have heightened standards, enhanced controls, because obviously we're becoming a bigger part of the banking system in general. But with that said, we've got a great franchise in Miami. We're a top five market share in that market. But, we have territories such as Broward in the Fort Lauderdale area, the Palm Beaches in Palm Beach County. And we have a great franchise up in Orlando and Tampa. And so, Horace Greeley said, go west, young man. And in this job, I tell my team, go north, right? We got plenty of business here in the state. We have a great franchise in Miami. And that's why, again, today we're up here in Lauderdale, up in Hollywood, and focusing on this market. But obviously, we have a great runway to grow organically throughout the state in the years to come.
Now, Mike, from your vantage point, you're perched here in the airline terminology, you're in the control tower way up there. What is something that you say to yourself, like when you go to sleep at night, you're like, what are clients of City National Bank of Florida saying behind my back? What are they saying that I'm not hearing, but I need to hear in order to make sure that we ace it in terms of customer service?
We're constantly surveying our customers, right? Whether it be officially or through the through the use of people like Josh and our business bankers and our managers, right? We have got to always stay on top of our game, but more importantly, continue to invest in our people, right? This is a people business, right? And I tell people, in the absence of value, price is always the issue. And that was taught to me by Jack Hubbard. We have got to demonstrate day in and day out that we are of value to that customer. And it's very clear to me that clients appreciate value. They will pay a premium for value, right? And I think we deliver a very good commercial private banking value proposition, which meets the needs of the customer, both in their professional and business life, as well as their consumer and private life. And you put those things together and you marry it with good people, and you deliver it in a consistent way, and you're going to be successful.
Michael, we go back quite some time.
Quite some time, yeah.
You've shared with me an incredible story about the Fed chairman, Paul Volcker.
Paul Volcker, sure. Yeah.
Perhaps you could share with the listeners.
Paul Volcker, for those of you that may not know, he was the chairman of the Fed in the late 70s and early 80s, and had to deal with inflation. And and that was a dragon that was slayed by Volcker, and that lay dormant for many decades. And obviously we've had some inflation the last few years. And my daughter was born in the fall of 18, and I took a few weeks off. And as part of that preparation, I bought some books because I figured I'd be up late at night and taking care of my daughter, yeah, and being a part of it, being a new dad and what have you. So I bought Volcker's biography, which just came out in the fall of 18. And I'm reading it one night with one eye open and staying quiet in my daughter's room. And he's talking about his career. Started out as a banker, went to Princeton, started out at Chase Manhattan Bank in the 50s and 60s. But he talked about his best investment that he ever made personally was personal real estate. And he talked about a co-op that he had acquired in New York, decades earlier. And so I had nothing else to do at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I went online and typed in Paul Volcker, and an address popped up that was on the Upper East Side. So I took the cover off the book and I put it into a self-addressed stamped envelope. And I wrote to, I said, Dear Mr. Chairman, because Mr. Volcker was always called Mr. Chairman because he chaired so many committees after he retired from the Fed. I said, I'm a banker. I've been in banking at that time, 25 years. I said, I've enjoyed reading your book. I would very much appreciate if you please would sign it for me. So I put it in the mail and dropped it in the mailbox. And a couple weeks go by, and I'm coming home with my wife. We had just gotten our daughter vaccine shots. Mm-hmm. And so I'm carrying her in the little car baby carrier. And I see out of the mailbox an envelope that sticks out, right? And I said to myself, that's it. And this was middle of January of 19. We get in the house, put my daughter down safely, of course. And I go back outside and I pull out the envelope. And sure enough, it's signed by Paul Volcker. And he signed everything always Paul A. Volcker. And he wrote back, "Dear Mike, a great banker, keep an eye on inflation." Right. Wow. And so it's one of these books, it's a priceless comment. And of course, obviously he's passed away, but it's just one of those things where, my career has been defined by just not having any shame in taking risks. Right. I started out knocking on doors in Brooklyn, 30 odd years ago. And I've always made the comment that you never know what you get without asking. Right. Whether it be asking for business or asking for the opportunity to pitch on your business, or just the opportunity to, get to an opportunity to present yourself in the best way forward. So I'm confident that in this role, I continue to remind my teams across the different businesses that we have a right to ask for more. We have a right to be that lead provider of our clients. We have the right to be that lead bank for our customers, particularly here. In Florida, we provide phenomenal service. We have got a great leader in George Gonzalez, a legend here in Florida. And, with that talent, with the new talent he's brought on, I'm really excited about our road ahead.
We're speaking with Michael McIntyre, Chief Banking Officer here at City National Bank of Florida. Mike, before I let you go, perhaps you could share a tip. And perhaps, if I may, something you touched on, which is very meaningful, and that is, what type of guidance can you give to people that don't be afraid, pick up the phone, be proactive, but yet you got to be a mensch?
Well, you got to be prepared, right? If you get through, you've got to have your elevator speech or pitch ready, okay? You've got to bring credibility, branding, presence. You and I have been talking about this for years. And what I always say, and we talked about this for a while, is when you say, "I'm going to call you back," that is not a text, right? If I say, "I'm going to call you back," that means I actually pick up the phone and I call you back. If I text you 3 hours later when I'm supposed to call you back, it's not really providing the purpose or the intention, the spirit of what you said you were going to do. And I think staying true to yourself, staying true to your word, I think will help you win more battles than you think. And being consistent in the market. We have a great core team here that's out in the market hundreds of times a day across our businesses. We're doing thousands of phone calls a week, reaching out to our customers, reaching out to the community, reaching out to our stakeholders and partners to really help us grow this organization. And it's going to take a community to help us get there, because we know that we've got to have to win the hearts and minds of our employees, of our customers, to have the right to win and earn new business, and then lastly, to acquire new customers from our prospect pools.
Mike, great catching up with you here in South Florida.
Welcome to Hollywood.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of Mind Your Business, recorded live in South Florida. Thank you to an incredible guest put up by City National Bank of Florida. And stay tuned for more exciting episodes of Mind Your Business.